You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, this is Glenn the Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning, the daily podcast I've been hosting for the last 15 years. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join us for panel discussions, webinars. You can ask questions and connect with your community through the Facebook page. You'll want to join that. Look for Retail Roundup on Facebook. Today, we'll unpack why some brands produce tons of content, yet see very little return, and others create systems that turn customers into storytellers, advocates, and repeat buyers. We're joined by Molly Hawkins from Hawk Media, a full-service marketing agency known for acting as an outsourced CMO. I can never say the word outsourced. For brands looking to launch, scale, and revitalize their marketing strategy. Hey, Molly.
Nice to meet you. Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
It's good to have you. You're a fellow podcaster, I just learned.
Yes, yes. I don't have quite as many podcasts under my belt as you do, but this is an honor to be here and to learn from the best when it comes to podcasting.
What's the name of your show? We have to give a plug.
Sure. It's called The Outliers Podcast. You know, I started it because I get to meet so many talented people in the marketing world and working with all these businesses and founders. And I thought it was a shame to not feature them and highlight them and profile them. So, yeah, you can find me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts.
And it's called The Outliers Podcast.
The Outliers Project Podcast.
Got it. Okay, very good. Well, tell us about Hawk Media. What do you guys do?
Hawk Media is, well, I know a lot of folks might say it, but we are a full-service marketing agency. So if you have an idea and you need help bringing it to life, from logo to a website, all the way down to your organic social media or paid media, we can do it all, really.
And I know you guys have worked with some big brands, Crocs and Getty Museum. Barstool Sports, talk about a podcast network right there. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best.
Yeah, they did all the tough stuff. We just helped find new folks to come to their channels.
Well, that's the hardest part, is finding new people to either shop in your store or come to your channel. Either way, it's the hardest part. So do you? I assume you also deal with smaller boutique, small to middle size retailers and manufacturers as well?
Absolutely. You know, frankly, that is my favorite customer to work with, because we could make such an impact for folks at that stage. That said, it can be challenging for folks that are a bit smaller when it comes to budget. But, you know, when you work with us, we help advise and give you a sense for when you should be spending your money and where. So working with a group like Hawk Media that has all of the practitioners all under one roof, so we can consult and determine the best approach for you before, you know, we start spending money in any one particular silo, is actually really valuable.
You know, and I think with retailers too, or anybody that has a business, it doesn't matter what kind of business, you really quickly get to feel overwhelmed by social media. One, because there's so much of it, right? It used to be that, you know, at the early days we had Twitter and Facebook, and now it's a dozen different things. What's the first thing they should, and maybe it's not working as well as they want it to, what's the first thing they should either start or stop doing at this point?
Wow. Well, first of all, I will say there's no one right way to do it. It's unique to your business, your industry, and the space that, in the stage that you might be in. So, but, you know, I also like to say that all social media isn't created equal. There's paid social media, there's organic social media, and there are what I'd call core channels. And then you have specialty channels. I look at those like the kicker on a football team. You only bring them out, you know, or use them for very specific reasons, right? So, but, you know, I'd say stop trying to do it by yourself, especially if you are an owner, operator, and you're on the sales floor. You know, your time as the operator, the merchandiser, the buyer, the bookkeeper in a lot of cases, you know, is far more valuable there. That said, don't put it on autopilot, because, you know, I'm sure as a social media user yourself, you can tell, you know, you can tell when a brand or a company has put their social media on autopilot, and really, you scroll right past that stuff. So I, you know, I'd say really try to find somebody on your team, whether it's, you know, a retail floor staff member that's really motivated, or, you know, oftentimes you can find an agency that is the right size or has the ability to support you with where you're at in your journey. And you could work with them, and you're going to get far more out of that effort, you know, because your time is money as well, right? And, you know, it's hard to justify sometimes to hire an agency, but, you know, I promise you, if you work with the right partner, it'll pay off really quickly.
I know that's the hardest part is when you're in a small business, and I've owned several, is to make that next step to hire the agency, to hire that next employee. You can never afford them when you actually hire them, right? That's the point when you should be hiring them, actually, is the point where you're just at the cusp of needing that help. But the thing about hiring an agency like yours or any agency or anybody to help you in that social media space is that should see results fairly quickly in the scale of a business, right? It's not something you're going to wait a year necessarily to see results on, especially today. You can get much quicker results today than you could 20 years ago when you had to wait for the magazine to come out in 7 months.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and that's a tough one, you know, because I'm both a creative and, you know, a nerd, a marketing strategist as well. And, you know, I think there's always some immediate wins. You know, when we sit with our clients and assess the opportunity and when we meet them for the first time, you might see long game opportunities and short-term wins. If it's a smaller brand, they typically need initial, quick wins to be able to justify the spend. And, you know, if we could prove ourselves and, you know, get them those wins, you know, I very quickly might start to introduce, you know, these opportunities to invest a little bit more in brand or better content or, you know, other channels. But it's not a straightforward, you know, this or that. You know, there's usually a mix of considerations that you're going to want. And, you know, if you don't have a marketing partner or an agency who's, you know, proposing things in that way, I'd say, you know, maybe shop around a little bit.
Wait, I've seen the term I cannot say this word either, programmatic retail. What does that mean?
Oh man, well, it's probably as confusing for a lot of people as it is hard to say for a lot of people too. To put it simply, it's basically automated advertising that will match your retail data to audiences all over the web. And it will serve up your ads to people that match that data. So, and this is all kind of happening automatically in the background, right? And now this helps reach new people, new customers. It's a distribution game changer for small retailers. It optimizes the amount, if you have only a set amount of dollars you have to spend on advertising, it makes sure that your dollars are going to the right people. So that's great. But it doesn't necessarily establish that connection or help differentiate you, because if your content isn't aligned, you know, or isn't saying the right things or isn't connecting with them on a deeper level, you might reach them, but you may not get them to click through, right? So, you know, I like to err on caution or recommend brands, you know, really think about the strategy for the content that they are actually putting out. So too quickly, they'll just sign up for programmatic, reach people, not think about what it is they're saying to them. So a strong content strategy makes sure that every piece of media that's reaching folks through the programmatic ads is on brand, it's telling the right story, or a really solid call to action.
So when you first meet with a customer, what are you looking at? What kind of questions do you ask? And I know this is a large question to answer in a small amount of space, but I think people also are, and I always have been in the past too, always a little nervous to go talk to that first person, not knowing what to expect. So I'm kind of trying to give them an idea of what to expect when you show up at their door.
Oh man, usually I want to learn as much as I can about their business. You know, I consider myself, again, a creative and a brand marketer first, thinking about the deep connective tissue from your business or your story that will align with audiences and customers. And, you know, I don't even think about the channels and the way that we're going to engage with them quite yet. I want to know what makes you different, what makes you special, or what's fun about your brand that could turn into something that will stand out in your marketing, whether that's through an ad or a social post, you name it. So, you know, really that's where I spend and over-index my conversation and in those initial, you know, touch points with my customers or prospective customers is to understand what's the opportunity. You know, and then of course, I will ask them, you know, what have they seen success with? You know, what are they struggling with? I always ask them, you know, what the makeup of their team looks like, or what kind of resources, what kind of budgets they have too, because a strategy is nothing if they can't execute on it. So it's really important. So, you know, I'm certainly concerned and thoughtful about the entire business ecosystem so that I can make, you know, really great recommendations for them.
I think one of the mistakes I made early in some of the businesses I had along the way was not really understanding what my brand was, not being super clear to the point where I could make that elevator pitch in two sentences, you know? Do you still find that, or are people getting clearer about what their brand is?
Man, I think, you know, people still struggle with it. We're human. There's more noise in the world, more things to consider than ever before when it comes to being a business owner or a founder or, you know, someone who's innovated on a product. So I think people tend to over-index on wanting to communicate too much. The exercise that I like to do with them is to really ladder up to the most important central message.
But I want to tell them everything because it's all good, Molly. I want to tell them everything.
Right? There'll be a time and a place for
that. We all want to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, trust me, I struggle with it myself because I'm a very exuberant, excitable person, and I'm not known for my brevity. But, you know, what I will say to your listeners is that there's a time and a place for everything else. You might have heard of the marketing funnel, and it might be woo-woo and just like, what does that even mean? But, you know, the funnel or the marketing pyramid, it basically gives you a hierarchy, much like the food pyramid, of what is most important and what volume of those things do you need in your life, right? Or, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? So, you know, first and foremost, at the tip of the pyramid, if we're talking about the hierarchy, Maslow's hierarchy, is, you know, what is that most important thing that is universal, that is going to connect with people, that really synthesizes what you do and do differently, right? And you lead with that, and then all of the other stuff obviously fits somewhere. But so I teach and we build a framework for where to place all the other things that you sometimes, you know, when I use this example often, have you ever seen like a flyer that comes in your mail, just like a, you know, a news promotional mailer or something, or the newspaper ad? Oof, that ages me. I think there's still newspapers, but that just has so many messages all and like offers and all this information. You don't even know where to begin to look, right? That's what you're doing to your customers if you're trying to say everything all at once on your ad or in your social posts. You know, if you create a very succinct, meaningful, targeted message, you're going to get their attention. Once you get their attention, then you can start talking about other stuff.
It's interesting because, you know, a lot of people pick on social media influencers, quote unquote, or, you know, social TikTok celebrities or YouTubers or things like that. But if you look at the ones with millions of followers, they are very focused in what they do. They pretty much do one thing, and they do that one thing very well because they found through experiment that that's the one thing that draws eyeballs, right? That gets people, in our case, gets people to listen to podcasts. What's that one thing? And then they focus on that. And from there, after a period of time, they can branch out. It's exactly what you're talking about. Yep. In the case, and this is what a brand has to do in social media, is find that one thing that really clicks, really work with that's what you're talking about, find a thing that works, and then branch out from there.
Absolutely. Exactly. And, you know, we say that and it sounds so easy, you know.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not, because you're so no. steeped in it. You're emotionally yep. attached. And oftentimes, you know, you may have seen a win here or there. So it's hard to really kind of zoom in on that, right? You know, and, you know, if we're talking like, say, it's a farm and ranch supply store in Montana, maybe you're in Livingston, Montana, for example. I just love Montana, so that's why you said it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, what is your special sauce? There might be like five different shops within like a 50-mile radius, but what's your sweet spot? Like, are you a sixth generation, you know, owner of the supply store? Can you really lean into that and talk about that? Do you have like, is there a shop dog that everybody loves and knows? Cause I mean, that sounds silly. Maybe you carry a particular brand, that is very, unique to your shop. You know, there's a lot of different, and maybe you're the only shop in Livingston, Montana, or within the 50-mile radius. So lean into that. Right. So, and talk about, be local and regionally centric, and you know, lean into that, the stories, the way in which you talk about your sales, or the people you feature on your social media, the influencers that you work with.
You know, we had I used to have a sign above my head up here that said "Silly Sells," because it does. And especially, and you look at some of the, you know, some of the videos, some of the things that are getting, you know, 10 million, it's silly. But it's also, you can make that part of your brand, the dog, the shop dog, the mm-hmm. horse, yeah. the whatever, right?
Just whatever. Because you haven't seen it done before doesn't mean it couldn't pop and actually thrive in social media. And in fact, that actually might be an opportunity.
I made the worst mistake I ever made in the beginning of Facebook. Is I posted a video of my pony. He loves water, and we had had massive rains, and we had a lake basically, and he would go in there and roll and splash for minutes. Did the video, posted it on our Horses in the Morning page, got 12 million views, and I didn't brand it at all.
You know,
so because it was a silly post that I didn't think was going to do anything, right? You know, it's just
sounds like you need to do it again.
I probably do. I probably need to. I could take the same video and do it again, probably do 12 million more. So you worked with a company called GearAid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give that as an example? Because I think that was a great example.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so GearAid is a very established outdoor accessories brand that makes very functional accessories that are kind of not necessarily the star of, say, whether you're a hiker or a mountain biker or a skier, whatever the activity. You know, these are like accessories like clips, or it's, you know, they have really cool washes to that are high performance washes for your outdoor gear, and a lot of these different things that are centric to a particular set of activities, right? And when we started working with them, their channels had been fairly dormant. They weren't getting a lot of engagement. They didn't have a very large social following. And they're like, what, why isn't it working? You know, our brand is big. We have a lot of wholesale distribution. But, you know, what we really leaned into was, you know, these activities and these communities that, you know, are buying your product, they're not represented on your channels. And we thought, and we really wanted to see them really start engaging influencers and ambassadors to get that validation. So I think that's really important. You could use social media as a channel for validation. But also it allowed us to supercharge our content sources. So working with influencers and ambassadors allowed them to get content that they could post collaboratively with these individuals that then reduced, you know, they were struggling because they were, even though they were a large brand, they didn't have a large social media and marketing budget. So we were able to offset their content production budget by bringing these people in. We incentivized them and rewarded them for their contributions and for participating. But these were people we worked with. We weren't looking for influencers. We were looking for passionate users of their products within these spaces. And it worked, you know, and we did start producing some of our own branded content for GearAid, but people loved the community content. So really, you started to see that shift. The channels were starting to grow. The engagement was starting to pop again. And in fact, a good line share of the content on the channel was coming from our community. And it was beautiful.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, we've done probably, I don't know, we've done 15,000 episodes at Horse Radio Network. And when we've done our surveys, we always thought at the beginning of podcasting that it would be the big names. You got to have the Olympic riders and all of that. And that's not true. Right now, our surveys tell us they love the interviews we do with other listeners, people that are just like them, because they can relate. Right?
Absolutely.
And having your customers as some of your ambassadors, and every store out there has those loyal customers. We talk about the 80-20 rule, 20% spend 80% of the money in your store. By the way, that's not changed in 40 years since I started selling.
Yeah.
That has never changed. And those 20% are your ambassadors, and they're happy to help you out because they like you, but have you ever asked them?
Right? Absolutely. You have to ask them. I mean, oftentimes you'll find that people are already in their little ways evangelizing you or want to be able to, but they just need an ask. So that's what we've done with a lot of our customers and our clients, similar to Gearaid, is we give them a framework that makes it really easy to manage and collaborate with these individuals, as well just give them a checklist of things like you want from them. Hey, do a Google review for our business page, share a social post, send us the content, and give us real reviews on our product as well. It's a genuine reciprocal relationship, and it should be. Don't think about it. The term influencers is so just kind of washed out anymore, and I think it has gotten people to think that they need these people because they just need the traffic and the eyeballs. But if you do that, it won't work. You might get a couple sales, you might get some new fans, but if you're not doing it right with the right people and it's not genuine, you'll waste money hiring an influencer.
I saw a store not too long ago that I've been following, and I won't mention the name today because I don't have permission, but it's a retail shop, not huge, not the smallest one around, but also not the biggest. And they sent counter people who was probably 19 or 20. But the 19, 20-year-olds have this phone figured out, right? They got the phone figured out. They have social media figured out. They sent them out to about five of their top customers to the barn, and they took customers who had recently bought a larger item, maybe a saddle or whatever, and they went out and just took the iPhone out or your cell phone out, and she just asked them questions and filmed them using the product and started posting that on social media, and it went. Because it was, first of all, we like to see each other's barns. That's number one. We all like to see each other's barns. But it was very authentic. It was this 19-year-old bubbly girl out there just saying, hey, you bought the saddle from us. Can I see a ride in it? And then, of course, you meet the horse and you see the barn. And now then it became a thing. And now that's one of their main avenues. Yep. So it doesn't always have to be, doesn't have to be complicated.
Absolutely. And you don't have to overcomplicate it with expensive gear. You can do everything from your phone these days.
You look at the 5 million follower YouTubers, and most of them are using a phone for their video.
Absolutely. There are documentaries getting filmed now with phones because it's that great.
GoPro, another one. It's cheap, but it's excellent video.
Absolutely.
And they're this big.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a $10,000 camera anymore.
You don't. No, you absolutely don't. And I will stand behind that. There's a time and a place for high production value, for sure. But I think, especially if you're talking specialty retail, connecting with your customers in a meaningful, intentional way is more important than high production value for sure.
You've worked with some of these big companies like Crocs and those kind of companies. Are there principles or strategies that they use that directly apply to the smaller outfits?
I think we could lean back into what we were talking about earlier and don't try to be everything to everyone. They have found their niche and they have leaned into it. So focus on what makes you special. Lean into it. It's scary. You may not have, you may not know, maybe you're too close to it, but the best thing that we've often done with customers is do a survey or ask your customers if you're at the cash wrap and you have the opportunity to, you know, if you're that kind of a customer service person, you know, ask them like, hey, I'm curious, what brought you in here today? You know, you'll learn and you'll start to really quickly hone in on what that special sauce is. And, you know, I think that's really, really important. And your biggest brands, they do a great job of knowing who they are and then figuring out how to focus on that.
And sometimes that gets annoying too, right? I mean, so they annoyingly do it to the point, but they get the answer they want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
All right. So the one thing too that I've said on the show 100 times, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's so, so important, is consistency. You have to be consistent, right? I mean, we preach it in podcasting. You take a look at any of the people that have done very well in social media. They didn't do very well overnight. They were consistent, consistent, consistent. Is that something you preach?
Oh boy, absolutely. Yeah. And you can look at consistency a few different ways, both in cadence, when you show up, how many times you show up. So there's that. But I'm going to speak more around how you show up.
Okay.
So it's the type of content, right? I'd say make sure to look at how you are, you know, identifying with that special sauce, like we kind of just talked about. And, you know, if you're just getting started, you're trying to change things, figure out one way you could show up. And do that consistently. So, I mean, like if, for example, you're a dynamic founder, owner, people love you, everyone knows you, figure out how you could, and if you're willing, post something once a week. Maybe it's you just feature your favorite product or a new product, your new arrivals, or you do that thing like the gal who had gone around to feature the customers.
And that's their thing now.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And just figure whatever your special sauce is and find a way to bring it to channel and do that repetitiously. And it doesn't need to be every day. It could be once a week. It could be once a month, but be consistent and give that three to four months and see what kind of traction you can get behind it. And, you know, the other thing when talking about consistently, highlight or, you know, include your community consistently. There are a lot of reasons I'll say how important that is from a standpoint of social media. But could you imagine if, just like in the real world, if you had a friend that you say that only talked about themselves, right? You would probably get a little annoyed or only hang out with them so much. Or when it comes to social media, you might just get tired and you just keep scrolling. I can't stress this enough, you know, include your community, and figure out a way to do so, consistently.
And it's so much easier today. We have every opportunity today. We have all the tools today we didn't have 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you had magazines and newspapers, and that was it. Unless you could afford to advertise on the radio, that was it, right? Billboards. You know, back then. Today, we do have more opportunity. And I know sometimes as business owners, we get overwhelmed by all the opportunity there is. But think about the way it was. You used to have to place your ads a year in advance to get in magazines.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, and it wasn't cheap. You know, it was expensive back then, too. So you know, we do have more opportunity than we had in the past. And in ways, it's simpler than it ever has been. And, you know, so remind yourself of that when sometimes we get overwhelmed and go, well, there's too much. Well, at least it's there. You have the opportunity now where we didn't have this. Right here is an acting company I owned way back. And we did 10 years of shows. We did Medieval Feast, kind of a Benny Hill version of Medieval Feast. That's aging me right there.
Wow.
And we did 450 shows. That was pre-internet. Wow. It was hard to advertise and get the word out to sell tickets to 200 people for once a month and that doing that kind of show. It was hard. Today, oh, it would be so much easier with that kind of show to do it today.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, I'd say when it comes to, you know, there are a lot of options, but don't feel like you have to be everywhere.
And you don't have to do them all, right?
Yep. Don't feel like you have to do them all. And if someone just says, you need to be on TikTok, you know, ask them why. And if they say, well, because, you know, that's where everybody's at, well, who's there? You know, is that your customer?
Yeah. And so even in the horse world, there's certain niches that work on Instagram, certain niches that work on Facebook, certain niches that work on YouTube and TikTok. And a lot of times, yeah, they'll post them every content creators that do it for a living post it everywhere. But they have the one platform that's a heck of a lot more popular than any other. They all have the one platform. And it's different for almost every one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. All of our brands, we don't just copy and paste when we work with different brands. We look at their audience. We look at their capabilities. Like, do they have the ability to produce a high volume of video, right? If not, we might not say YouTube or TikTok. Depending on their audience, you know, we might say Facebook is your core channel, you know? So I'd say, you know, don't be afraid to just focus on one or two that makes sense for you based on what you could produce. And, you know, but be mindful of like who your customer is. And again, you can ask your customer too. I think surveys are underrated. I feel like people don't do enough surveys.
It's interesting. And she doesn't mind me saying this because she has said it on our show. We years ago, 18 years ago, we started our first podcast, which wasn't a thing then. We had a sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, and she's still with us today, 18 years later. And she has said over and over again, you know, you didn't have the numbers that the magazines had or we didn't have the stats that they had. But I had more direct response from your listeners than I had from any other place we advertised. And she advertised everywhere. She said, but more people would call me and say, I heard about it on the show. So, you know, that leads to the next thing is how to identify the metrics, you know, how to, and what I'm trying to say is it not, you will get results in places that don't necessarily have the biggest numbers of the advertising you do. Is that true of the larger brands too, or is it all just big numbers?
You know, I am probably going to have a different perspective than the folks on my team that actually work in the paid ads. So I'm more at your strategy level, and I'm really focused on your overarching content strategy. But, you know, for me, metrics that... This is like we said at the very beginning of the show, there is no right way to do it. And I will stand behind that. There is no right metric to track. I will stand behind that. You know, you could fight me, and I'm sure some of my counterparts will fight me on that. But I truly believe that if you are tapped into your brand North Star and you're telling the stories that you need to be telling, the most important metrics are your content engagement. So that could mean a like, a comment. For me, and these days, some of the most important ones are saves. So on Instagram in particular, you have saves or you can share content. So that would mean someone is bookmarking and saving that piece of content because it is so valuable they want to look at it again or they want to be able to reference it. And then sharing, of course, that means that they are sending it to someone that they think needs to see this. Those are huge indicators.
Yeah, shares are always one I looked at. Yeah,
absolutely. That means you are either providing extreme utility for your audience that they are willing to save that and share that. Then also, it could mean in some cases you could be entertaining. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a utility, but it was that meaningful. And so those are the biggest signals for me. And of course, if those activities are happening, the engagement, the reach, the views, and all the other things are happening in the background. So,
and you're going to know what advertising is working by one, people coming in your store saying they heard it or saw it, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, or read it, whatever that is. You're going to know. You're going to get a feel, just like, you know, just like Karen from Kentucky Performance Products. She had people calling her on the phone saying, I heard it on the show. And she used to come on our show all the time before she sold the company. So, you know, it's, you know. You know, and you don't even have to, a lot of times, look at the numbers. You know where the sales are, where the result is coming from. Because they tell you.
Absolutely. I have one client that we've put two of their employees on camera, and they have told us that they have heard from so many people, friends, random people. They'll get comments on their social media talking about the talent or people messaging them. And, you know, that's an indicator. People are loving the content. They're getting feedback around it. And you will hear, you will know. That said, you know, it sometimes takes time for that to kind of distribute and to start building momentum. So don't be distraught. Don't just start something and abandon it if the first post didn't hit. You know, you'll talk to so many of those influencers that have hundreds of thousands of fans.
But they've been doing it for 5 years.
Exactly.
Yep. Consistently.
I just talked to someone that said they've been doing it for 16 years and just 2 years ago started actually making money at it. So not that that's that we could afford, all of us could afford to be in that kind of situation, but yeah, so.
What you're doing is as a supplement to the other things that you're doing too, that you know work in the store, the, you know, the special events you have and things like that.
Yeah.
You're doing this in addition to that to bring into, hopefully you have that base there, that this is bringing in additional revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I will say though, it's all part of an ecosystem. It's all connected. You want your digital to be connected to your in-person terrestrial brick and mortar experience as well. So for example, if you are doing events in your store, make sure to capture content of that and put it on your social media afterwards, whether it's like a fun video or a special moment that was memorable, or, you know, I love when customers, and we recommend that if it, depending on the gathering, if you can get a group photo and share it afterwards and say, hey, thank you to everybody that came out. That shows gratitude. That also gives people something that they want to then engage with, share, tag their friend that might have not seen it yet. And that gets people connected to your social media that maybe weren't already connected. That also shows your audience online what it's like to be a part of the community. It serves both brick and mortar and your digital appearance. It all is connected and supports each other.
That's a perfect way to end this. Where can people find you? And if they want to chat with you about maybe working with you or just call you, what do they do?
Absolutely. You can go to hawkmedia.com. That's hawkemedia.com. And you can email me, mhawkins@hawkmedia.com. And I'd be happy to geek out with anybody. I will talk horses all day long. I'm still in the learning phase. I'm definitely not an expert like you. But, you know, I'm happy to give anyone a free consultation as well.
All right, very good. And so it's HawkMedia. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Give one more plug for your podcast, because that's where they can go listen to more of you there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you. Outliers Project Podcast.
Outliers Project Podcast. And of course, you can find us. I have a noise going in the background. I don't know what that is. So thank you for joining us for Wes's Retail Roundup. To watch them all, you can go to the website. You can go to the Wes's Trade Show YouTube channel, and to stay up to date with Retail Roundup via the Facebook group and the WesaTradeShow.com. And we do have another part of our podcast is a second show that we do on the same feed, Wisdom by Wessa. You can hear that twice a month as well, every Thursday or every other Thursday. We appreciate you being here. Thank you. Thank you a bunch for joining me, Molly. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.